Being a marketer is no sweat. You just have to manage dozens of channels, launch hundreds of campaigns, score thousands of leads, and okay, fine, it's a lot of sweat. Unless you have HubSpot's AI-powered marketing tools to help you do all that and more. Get started at HubSpot.com/marketers.
Good morning, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse. The Bucks are terrible, I guess. The World Series is about to end. Oh, darn. That actually kind of makes me mad because I wanted this thing to get real big. And the Packers won. 30-27. Brandon McManus again. Jordan Love hurt. Malik Willis, 3-0 when he plays. Josh Jacobs, every bit the running back I told you he would be. We're talking NFL, halfway point of the season. We're going to bring in my little potato wedge. Toby Altizer.
It's been too long, Bart.
How are you? I mean, I just asked you before, but how are you for the general public?
Oh, I'm doing great. I was excited that you brought me on to break down Brandon McManus, the, you know, a couple month Commanders kicker and all the scandal and everything that went with that. I'm sure that's what you wanted to talk about today.
Well, Packer fans did want to talk about that until he hit two game winners and now nobody cares. You know what they did, though? They did that thing because he had a game winning field goal. And I think it was Chris Brooks, but he went down at the one, which is I get it, but I hate when they do that.
Score, it depends.
Score.
There are certain, there was one where I think Isaac Garendo did it for the Niners and is like, dude, just score. Like,
His
first career touchdown a couple of weeks ago, and he slides down at the two after breaking off a 70 yarder. Dude, just finish in the end zone. Like, you're going to go up by 13. You're not losing that game. I don't know. There are certain situations it makes sense. Other ones, just run it in.
Dude, I don't like the teams when they're down 8, they go for 2. I don't get it. I get it, but then I don't.
I understand it, but I don't know what's wrong with tying the football game. I don't
like putting yourself in a situation where you can lose when you should be tied.
Yeah, I don't get it. I understand the analytics of it, but I don't know. Sometimes these things go a little bit too far, and I guess it's all about winning, which is what it should always be about, and that's how they're looking at it with analytics. But I think you're also opening a door for an easy loss, especially when you run a 2-point play like the Giants did, where they decided to block no one. So, you know, if you have a good 2-point play, maybe it's a little bit of a different conversation, but if that's the 2-point play you're going to run, kick the extra point, please.
How much of that game did you watch? Because I think Brian Daboll was, like, acting mad a lot of the game.
Well, I mean, they were getting screwed to an extent, but that was one of the most boring football games I've watched in a while. So I had it on. I was watching the Wizards. I was watching the World Series. Kind of had everything going on. Wasn't necessarily paying the closest attention to that game, and I don't feel like I missed anything.
Well, I tried to watch as much of the Packer game as I could, but it was during Trick or Treat.
Mm.
I went as John Hammond from Jurassic Park.
By the way, fantastic costume. Fantastic.
I had a few people that were like, is he trying to, oh yeah. And then we had a little party in the morning for like my kids' friends to just do pumpkins. And then nobody like recognized me because I did my beard white. And one of my friends or my kids' friends' dads was like, I thought you were like this other kid we know's dad. I go, yeah, that's who I'm going as. I'm going as Ted's dad. Then my neighbor didn't recognize me. He's like, I saw you around your kid. And I was like, is this guy, what's happening?
I mean, I didn't feel like you were that unrecognizable. I felt like you kind of look like yourself, just with a little bit older.
I mean, I still have white in the beard, but to have a full white beard, I'm ready. I want it. I want it bad. I can't wait. But so we're walking around and trying to trick or treat, and I got the phone, you know.
Yeah.
So I saw the Packers go up 27-17, and then I kind of put it away, and then it's like tied, and I'm like, what happened? Because I figured it was over, then it wasn't.
Well,
but then caught the end.
I tell my cousins all the time, diehard Packer fans, I tell them all the time, you know, I don't watch every Packers game like I used to, but whenever I get the chance, watching Jordan Love is just chaos. It's fun, but it is chaos. You never know where the ball's going. Nothing's ever thrown from a normal platform. Even a basic throw across the middle, it's like, Jordan, you ever heard of stepping into a throw before versus fading away? Nope. Everything is chaos, but he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, I like it. It's like just on the line, because any more worse, and he's like the shittiest quarterback in the league. But if it's paying off, I don't mind. I don't mind throwing three picks if you're going to throw four touchdowns and have 280 yards and win.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally like, I don't know. I always felt like, you know, there was maybe a combination of Rodgers and Favre in there, and you're seeing it this year. Like the bad parts of Favre and some of the good parts of Favre, and then the throwing mechanics and mannerisms of Rodgers. He's got a little bit of everything. He's fun to watch.
And then Malik Willis comes in there and he's just nails every time. It's awesome.
Yeah, honestly, my one thought on this Packers season was I thought against that Vikings defense, which they ended up, you know, doing well in the second half of that game, but I thought I would have just left Willis, because that Vikings defense is so weird that when they brought Love back from the injury, Love kind of looked a little bit confused, like a lot of quarterbacks have looked against that Vikings defense this year, versus if you would have just thrown Willis out there again. But, you know, they ended up coming back, making it a game in the second half. But I don't know.
Love was very inaccurate that day, so maybe it was a little soon.
But how in the world, like, this is where it gets frustrating with Matt LaFleur, because he's such a good coach. It's obvious, because no one else can win with Malik Willis and make him look like a good NFL quarterback in a unique system. And then there are times that his team just comes out completely unprepared. I don't know what it happens week to week. And also, I love Jeff Hafley. What took so long to bring in someone like that versus keeping Joe Barry around? That's the frustrating part.
Yeah, it's crazy. Malik Willis, Jeff Hafley, Brandon McManus, the reason the Packers are 6-2. And where they would be right now, if the playoffs were today, they would not be in first place. They would be the 5 seed, and the number 2 seed would be Toby's Washington Commanders, which I don't know if you guys saw Toby reacting live. This is with Linnell Willingham. What's he call himself? The youngest in charge or something?
He calls himself the youngest in charge, but I'm actually younger. So one of the guys out here, former Redskin, loves to give him crap about that.
That's funny. So we all know the Hail Mary. Here's Toby and Linnell watching the Hail Mary.
Is he going to really Hail Mary?
What up, Jaden?
What is he doing, Jaden?
Oh, we're going to get a holding penalty on Wiley.
Yeah, I love that you said that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Took forever.
Oh, my God! No way! No way! You've got to be kidding me! Holy cow!
See, this is what's great about this.
You can't be serious!
Is that Linnell goes to the ground. Oh, I still got it going on. All right. He goes to the ground. And so you have to be the only one talking, because then he just is like dead. And then he gives a stare. His stare is great. If you guys saw the video,
it was good. I think it was a perfect, duo there. Linnell's definitely the more flamboyant guy. He's going to be much more reactionary. And I think the on camera, he did a fantastic job with the reaction. I was still in shock. I had someone giving me crap because I said something about Wiley getting a hold, and I was still mad that they were going to lose that game. I was like, oh my gosh, they blew this. They should have won this game like 15 times already. They're going to lose it, hold. And then, you know, just the roller coaster of emotions for that game. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Well, it's crazy because Jaden Daniels comes back. Shouldn't have been back, but he was back. And then you guys had to settle for field goals a lot. And then the Bears were doing the dumbest things I've ever seen. That handoff to the running back or to the offensive lineman made no sense. It was overcomplicated just to be overcomplicated. Then the way that they were defending the Bears. Then on the Hail Mary, they're running a linebacker in spy on the running back. And then you have Stevenson cocking off to the fans, finally coming back. And then Noah Brown just like, and he, like, I thought he was going to drop it.
Oh, I've watched that play 100 times, and I know for a fact I would have dropped that ball. Like, it was just floating there. I would have dropped it. But I think what I noticed, you know, Caleb Williams, I think, could be a good quarterback, but the coaching in Chicago is horrendous. I mean,
they did this too. They did this when they had Mitch Trubisky. They had a coach they ended up firing, Fields, and then they fire. I don't know why they're doing the mistake they always do.
It's like everyone wants to give Ryan Poles all this credit, and boy, if he has not gotten bailed out big time by some other bad organizations and things really just falling his way time after time after time. Because remember, he traded a second round pick for Chase Claypool. Don't forget that. Also, he traded away the number one overall pick, and the Panthers took Bryce Young. What if they took Stroud? What if they had taken a winning quarterback and they had no chance at Caleb Williams? Like, he has gotten bailed out. And then I think the nail in the coffin is, like you said, why the heck are you keeping Eberflus? You already kind of understood that he was on his last leg. If you're going to draft a rookie quarterback, just go ahead and kick the coach out, get a new one that can build with him. And Shane Waldron, bringing him in as an OC, he looks terrible with what he's asking Caleb to do. You know, I think, you know, Jaden's looked fantastic. I'm not trying to take anything away from Jaden, but like, Cliff has put him in a perfect spot to be successful. You're watching Caleb Williams early in that ball game. He's coming up to the line of scrimmage, like calling out the play like he's Peyton Manning. He's a rookie. What are you asking him to do? It's way too much. And I think Washington understood that. So they started disguising stuff. They blitzed more than they have all year. He looked uncomfortable all game long. I think he finished with 131 passing yards, 95 on the final two drives. He was horrible up until those final two drives. So I just don't think they're doing him any favors. And, you know, obviously as a Packers podcast, I'm pretty happy that Chicago still doesn't know how to run a functional organization.
This podcast is like the Bucks, Toby. It's got no identity. you don't have to call it that. But you got to be feeling like, obviously, your team's good. So that makes you feel good, especially when a lot of this is a surprise and then you're getting these kind of victories. So where are you at? Like, what are you letting yourself think, or are you just 1 week at a time?
It's growing more into letting myself dream a little bit. It's definitely more so now, but it's still kind of 1 week at a time because of all the years of ineptitude that this organization has had. But I mean, they're doing what good teams have done, really. Like, they found a way to beat the Giants early in the year when they didn't score a touchdown. They finished with 7 field goals. They win that ball game. This Bears game was ugly. I mean, obviously there's some luck involved with the Hail Mary, but they found a way to win that one. And then when they played some bad teams, they've absolutely destroyed them. Like, it has not been close. And you look back and, you know, they're a player or two away in Baltimore, and week one, you lose to Tampa Bay. It's a rookie's first start. So, you know, I feel like they're doing what good teams do. And it seems like the defense is starting to come around a little bit. And I don't know, obviously not in Washington. I've never seen a rookie quarterback like this, but man, he looks so comfortable. It looks so just in control of everything going on. It's impressive because, and we were talking beforehand, I got to go out to training camp and watching him out there, and he didn't look like a rookie. And he's carried it over to the game field, and he's doing stuff that we hadn't even seen him do in training camp. He's so impressive. So impressive.
Well, and even with him playing at LSU, like, I think people, you get so much more of a picture of who these guys are that, and he won the Heisman, and, you know, he had high profile games, but it just feels like when you watch the NFL, you watch it maybe more, you're more in tuned, and, you know, you see more highlights and it's more of the conversation. And I think that he's gone from, like, there was just a lot of, I don't know, a lot of the attention was on Caleb, and you knew he was good. So he's going to go two, but he didn't. Even with Drake May, you know, we're finding you get a better picture of these guys. And man, if we knew he would be this, and maybe some people did, but I still think Caleb should have gone one, but there's a lot more discussion on it.
And again, I think, you know, Jaden has been, you know, so pro ready in everything that he's done, but it's also that Cliff has just put him in a spot to be successful. Like, the offense that he's running, I bring this up all the time because it was a big talking point before that Monday night game against Cincinnati when Cam Taylor-Britt called it a college offense, and everyone viewed it as a slight. But if you just watch this offense, There's a lot of college style stuff that they run. It's a lot of options. It's a lot of RPO stuff. And, you know, Jaden is doing it as well as anyone possibly could, but they're not asking him to do too much. And they've continued to throw more and more on his plate. And it's not that Jaden can't go out there and be a regular quarterback. Like, he goes out there and he goes through his reads and he does what's necessary, but Cliff isn't asking him to be Superman. He gives him a bunch of options and Jaden has to make the right choice. And so far he's made the right choice. And a lot of them, like, I went back and watched the second half of that Cincinnati game where they had to score every single time they touched the ball to win the ball game. And they did. And the second half of that game, there was, out of all the decisions, because every single run play that Washington has, there's a passing option. You can keep it. Like, every single one, there's no such thing as just a simple handoff up the middle for Washington's offense. I went back and watched, and I was like, I think out of all the decisions, run plays, pass plays, where he threw the ball to, how he threw the ball, I think there was one decision the entire second half. I was like, maybe he could have made a different choice there. Otherwise, it was like, he was 100%, like 95% of his decisions that half were perfect. And it's been that way all year, it feels like, with the exception of a half here or a half there once he's kind of got settled in. It's his processing ability, his ability to go through his reads. He just looks so much more like a veteran than a rookie. It's been incredible.
One of the things I've been saying is I don't think the league can, like, collectively miss on quarterbacks in terms of what their talent is. Like, a Bryce Young, who's struggling. Bryce Young, everybody had him as a first rounder. Everybody had him as some as a number one pick, and for good reason, because he's good. I think a lot of times what happens is when these quarterbacks get in the league and then they look bad, I think it's the situation that you're in. You're seeing a lot of guys like Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith. They go somewhere else, and maybe it takes a long time, but you see that they have success. I don't think you can just put Zach Wilson on the Jets and be like, oh, Zach Wilson's bad. Or put Bryce Young, or put Mitch Trubisky. And some of these guys don't pan out. Some of these guys maybe aren't as good as you thought. But even like Johnny Manziel and Jamarcus Russell, like, if you thought they were first-round picks, and you only give them one team to try it with, and the team is bad, it's like, well, the Raiders, yeah. Well, I think so often we just look at the quarterback and say, oh no, this guy sucks. Like, Anthony Richardson is 22, he's played 5 games, and now people are like, by the way, him getting lumped in with all these other quitters was garbage. He needed a breather. Big deal. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. You need a breather. He's tired. They got him running around all the time. Running backs take a breather. I just took a breather by asking you a long question.
I think you're 100% right about this, by the way. Like, Bryce Young, they brought him into a situation where he was going to have to be Superman, and he's not that kind of a guy. He reminded me a lot of how Tua has to play. And you remember Tua early on in his career, it was like, ooh, he's not very good. And suddenly you get the right play caller and the style of offense, and you put some playmakers around him. And yeah, that can happen with any quarterback, but you put Tyreek and Waddle and what he's able to do with those sorts of guys versus what he had before and the play calling and style of offense. Look at what Tua looks like now. And by the way, if you're doubting Tua, look what the Dolphins look like without Tua. Like, they're not even functional. So I think his skill set's unique. I think Bryce Young is unique, and they haven't found what he needs to do. I think the only exception there is, like, a guy like a Richardson, you're taking a big swing, hoping that the potential pays off, versus, like, Bryce Young, there's plenty of college film. There wasn't as much so on Anthony Richardson. And then the other guys you mentioned, like a Jamarcus Russell and Manziel, have the talent. They clearly didn't have the work ethic. So if you get a guy that's willing to put in the work, and you've seen, you know, enough in college that they've been successful, I think in general you're right that a lot of it comes down to the fit and style. And then some guys just aren't going to work out. Sometimes it happens. But like a Richardson situation, I think you're more so taking a home run swing. And unfortunately, it looks like the Colts swung and missed. But I think with a guy like Bryce Young, if you put him in a different situation, honestly, if you plugged him into the Dolphins situation, I think he could be successful. That's why I almost felt like it would have been smart if they were, you know, considering like Tua might not play again, then maybe you trade for Bryce Young and just see if you can find something. Cause I think he can run that style of offense where he's basically playing point guard, you know, versus trying to be the playmaker like some of these other quarterbacks are.
The other team that we need to talk about here is a guy that we've talked about a lot back in our heyday, and that was Aaron Rodgers with the New York Jets. I'm not even like taking joy in this from the Rodgers perspective that the Jets are so bad. I'm actually bothered. I always find a way to be bothered. I'm bothered and upset at whether it's New York media or national media being like, oh, Rodgers takes it down to one all the time and they burn timeouts. Oh, Rodgers is like a lot of work to cover because the rest of the – when for 15 years I'd ask these people questions and they'd say, well, as long as you have Aaron Rodgers, you'll be fine. And I say, no, we won't. We won't be, and it's too much work. And now everyone's like, oh, you look at, like they're discovering America for the first time. Well, it's already been there.
Yeah.
I just – that's what I'm mad at. So the Rodgers struggling isn't bringing me joy. It's making me upset at people acting like they're finding out this stuff that Wisconsin knew forever. And also, I think the Jets should trade Devontae Adams again.
That would be something.
Yeah, 1 week.
That would be something. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Trade him.
Going back, whenever you watch the Jets, it just reminds me of watching the Packers those last couple years with Rodgers. It's and the thing about it is, it's one thing if it was working, and even when it is working, you know, you watch an offense now with the Packers, you watch, you know, I get to watch the Commanders every week, and sometimes it is hard to move the football, but a lot of times when they're going well, it just looks easy, right? Like, I mean, Matt LaFleur is getting guys open wide open across the middle. You're running the football. You're successful moving the football. Washington, like I said, running a lot of different stuff, and it looks easy at times, like almost too easy. And then you watch the Jets, and even a 10-yard completion looks like the hardest thing they've ever had to do. Like
that's how Rodgers looked in this towards the end.
It looks absolutely so hard. Everything looks so difficult. Nothing is easy. And that's why they're 2-6, because they're putting more on Rodgers' plate, as he did with the Packers, and more is going on his plate. And I think the issue is Rodgers still thinks he's 25, and he's not. When he was 25, maybe he's able to make these offenses function and easy, because I think, you know, it's one of those things you talk about all the time in your life. Like, you know, my mind still thinks I can do this, but I'm older. I can't. Right. Like, I think his mind still thinks he can do all the stuff that he did when he was 25, 26, 27. He can't. He's 40 years old. He can't do that stuff anymore. And unfortunately for him, it looks like the worst offense you could possibly run, because there is no offense. The offense is Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers, frankly, just isn't that good anymore.
Yeah, and I'm not even taking joy in it. Like last year, I wanted to take joy in him being bad, and I'm not even taking joy in it. Now, thankfully, Thursday night, they're on primetime again, and that'll be the last time. There is a Sunday night game against the Colts, which I think is going to get flexed out, and it might even get flexed out for Packers-Bears.
Like, I know it's New York, but can we please stop putting them in primetime? Both those teams are terrible.
They're bad. On like every week, twice.
I don't need to watch Daniel Jones again. I'm so sick of watching Daniel Jones. I don't need to see Dable mad all the time. I don't need to see Rodgers giving the death stare to his sideline. Like, I'm done with all that.
Like, the Jets at least had Rodgers, and you're like, okay, people are interested. What draw are the Giants? Just that they're in New York? No one cares about them.
I know. And Malik Nabers is literally the only player that you care about. Like, it used to be at least it's like, oh, I'll watch Saquon Barkley. Now it's all you watch is for Malik Nabers. That's it.
Well, I used to be a big Shock head with Jeremy Shockey.
Well, I mean, if we're going way back, yeah, but recently.
Oh, God, you put Shockey in prime time?
No.
I got the chips and salsa out, and I had to part with friends.
Now, I will say, if we're going way back, Brandon Jacobs was fun to watch back in the day.
Oh, Brandon Jacobs? I'm more of an Otis Anderson.
Well, now you're going past my time.
Yeah. Toby, it's good to see you.
Great to see you, Bart. Always fun.
Anything else that you need to get off your chest to these noobs that are listening?
Not that I can think of. Oh, I will say this. I know the Bucks aren't very good right now, but my gosh, if I don't miss covering that team versus the Wizards. It's nice to see an organization that has a good player and at least has some aspirations. Our general manager out here said that we're still in the deconstruction phase of a rebuild. Still on the way down.
What does a Wizards fan even go to watch?
Nothing. There's nothing to watch. I mean, there's a couple young guys.
Kuzma?
No one cares about Kuz. And you know what? Kuz is like one attraction. He said he's not even doing this year. He said he's not going to dress up coming in anymore. He's not worried about it. And I knew that because game one of the year, he shows up in a full gray sweatsuit. Like, I was like, what the heck? I'm expecting some dumb looking sweater or some exotic looking jacket. Nope, he just showed up in a full gray sweatsuit.
When did Valanciunas get there?
Yeah, signed him this offseason. He'll probably get dealt at the deadline. Malcolm Brogdon, there's so many
Wisconsin connections. Patrick Baldwin Jr. Mm-hmm. Johnny Davis.
Malcolm Brogdon. I got to interview him at Wizards Media Day, and I will say he spoke fondly of Milwaukee.
Remember very when he's fondly. Like, everybody's like, I always wanted to be a Wizard. This is a dream come true.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
What was that? I mean,
he did say it felt like a homecoming because obviously he went to UVA. But, I mean, he guaranteed the Wizards will win more games this year. But, I mean, they won, what, 15 games last year? So, congratulations. You win 16, that's more. But he spoke Jordan very fondly.
Poole, I got to mention Jordan Poole.
Yeah, another Milwaukee guy. Yeah, there's plenty of stuff, Wisconsin-related stuff out here. But, yeah, there's no draw to the Wiz. I mean, it's such a difficult watch. I'm watching last night. They're playing the Atlanta Hawks of all teams. And three of the first four possessions were turnovers, and they all looked like they were running AAU play. Like, it's just bad. Just bad.
Well, enjoy. Enjoy these bad days while you can of the cheap tickets and the apathy, because someday I'm telling you those – Washington Wizards will be the talk of the town.
Yeah, let's not get carried away about that. I don't know that someday they will.
Toby, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, Bart.
Well, if we're going to talk some Wizards, we might as well talk some Bucks, as I was hosting essentially a Bucks post-game show. And then I went national. I Craig counseled y'all and chased my dreams. Still in the basement, however. But Craig's still probably in Milwaukee, too. Before that, you know the deals at Happy Place Hemp. You know they help you during spooky season. Take a little gummy. The seltzer's a big hit. I got a buddy who comes over. I did not have the seltzer on hand. I got to stock back up on those. But we had the gummies instead. I think the Delta 9s. And he felt very good. You could get the different Deltas. You can get the different gummies. The ones with THC. The CBD CBN ones are great. Those I take for sleep, which has helped immensely because for some reason I am afraid to go to bed. Maybe the horrors of this world we live in keep me up. I'm just going to think about that for a second. HappyPlaceHemp.com. 25% off every order. The promo code is BART. Put it in at checkout. BART, the promo code BART. BART at checkout, and you get 25% off everything, and you can use that code as long and as many times as you want. It's been great to team up with those guys, Chris and Rob, and the fact that it is that continual, I think has helped a lot of people out, able to check out their products. Again, if there's something that you haven't done or tried and you just, you know, want to check it out, they do have sampler packs. And you can try it and it's fun. And then you can use the code again. So we don't just want you to use it once. You can use it every time that you go to either their place in Muskego or also the website. Now, they do have seltzers. You can pick those up a couple of different places. You can order them. They're at Ray's and you can go to their location in Muskego. HappyPlaceHemp.com. Promo code is BART. All right, a couple Bucks-related things. First, since the last time we talked Bucks, they had won. So last time we talked Bucks, they beat the Sixers, and I got to see a good majority of that game. I did get a voicemail in, 402-915-BART, the Carl's Place voicemail line. You can call it 2278. I got a message from Hot Take Jake. So it's about the Bucks and also Paul Imig's viewing of the games, where he realizes pretty much only the fourth quarter is important.
Wink Reverse, what's up? It's your boy Hot Take Jake. Been a minute. Let me talk to you. Just a couple of quick things after listening to the latest edition of with our guys Paul and Grant. First things first, I want to talk about the Bucks a little bit. Great opening night win. Honestly, they beat up a team they should have beat up, so good for them. But I just want to say, if I never see Brook Lopez shoot a three-pointer again, the quality of my life will improve, legitimately, because when I watch him now, when he squares, he doesn't even, I was going to say he squares up to take a three. He doesn't even square up. He, like, rectangles up to shoot a three, and then he laser beams this thing, and I'm literally just in despair every time I see him raise for that shot. So, Brooke, I love you, buddy, but it's time to stop. Just get inside the arc, or at least just move the ball. Anyways, I have a solution for Paul's problem about watching an entire NBA game, and Chuck Freeman told him, just watch the fourth quarter. No, here's what you got to do. You need to amend your I only watch live sports rule for this. Start the game an hour and a half after it was actually started, like on your DVR. You fast forward through all the commercials, all the stoppages, all the free throws. When you get caught up to live, there will be like 7 or 8 minutes left of the fourth quarter. It's live and you're perfect. Give it a shot. I'm telling you, I cracked the code on this thing a couple years ago, and it's perfect. That's all I got for you guys. I miss the Winklerverse. Man, the Falls, where you been? Man, I miss you, buddy. Q, stop taking stuff so seriously. Sean O'Connell, you're the GOAT. And Austin, man, I hope you're sober wherever you are, buddy. Just kidding. Love you guys all. Nothing but love for the Winklerverse.
All right, Hot Take Jake. Good to hear from him. So he called in after the Bucks had won. I think that there's a lot of frustration with the Bucks. Since then, they lost to the Bulls, which was kind of lame. They lost to the Nets. I didn't see a lot of that one with it being Sunday and the football. And then the Celtics they lost to, which I was kind of buying. A lot of Bucks fans were thinking, yeah, we might win this one. I kind of bought that too, and then they had a decent first half. I saw a lot of complaints about Bobby Portis. I didn't see too much of the game. So again, I just swoop in here and give my opinions on it. I saw complaints about Portis. I saw complaints about Giannis. There was one tweet that stuck with me. Bucks breakdown says this might be an ugly finish, but I thought the Bucks had played solid almost the whole night. Rough stretch to end the half from Giannis, but outside of that, he's been solid. Dame too. Bobby's third quarter stretch was brutal. They've showed me some things tonight. I would normally be a guy that says, it's a regular season. That's my imitation of myself. And it is. And the regular season is pretty irrelevant. I mean, they are 1-3, and I don't think anyone's freaking out. Sure, no one's freaking out. But what I think Bucks fans are thinking, especially if you've watched each and every these games, and what I'd probably be saying if we were doing the post-game show is, this is not it. Like, okay, the regular season, fine. But they're better than this. Losing to the Bulls. No. Losing to the Nets. Come on. The Celtics owning you to the point where Peyton Pritchard knows he can just put up 28 against you. I mean, what is it with these guys? They come in and just like the Bucks are their team. That they dominate. I don't get it. But it is fucking annoying, if I may say so myself. So you want Dame and Giannis to get better together, and I think in listening to what they said at Media Day, like I think that they're understanding of the assignment, but it's just like they're a better team than this. And I know Middleton's not back yet and they're working some other guys in, but they're a better team than this. And they haven't played like it yet. And again, it is still early. Nobody's freaking out that they're not going to make the playoffs. Nobody's freaking out that they're not going to, like, the title hopes are dashed. They've got the Grizzlies coming up on Halloween. They've got a couple against the Cavs. Andre Jackson's driving into apartment structures. Pretty good summation of the season up to this point. It's just, this isn't better than this. This is, I think because of how good they're supposed to be and because of like their performance on some nights, and some nights you do bring into question their effort. If they're getting beat, they're getting beat. But if you're watching and you're like, what is this? It's a waste of your time. And I think that is something to try to stay away from. So again, I'm not, you know, worried, so to speak, but I get it. If you're a Bucks fan and you're pissed right now, I'm not going to tell you how to fan on that. Cause it's lame. Like, oh, they fucking lost. Jesus. That kind of reaction. This has been Into the Winklerverse. Thanks, Toby Altizer, for stopping by again. The show, The Bart Winkler Show, weeknights, 9 p.m. to 1 a. Central. And you can catch it on your favorite Odyssey station, the Odyssey app, and 1250 a.m. The Fan if you are in Milwaukee. Also, many different stations statewide do enjoy that, including my hometown of KFIZ. You should drive around Fond du Lac if you get the chance in the next week. The billboards, politically, it's about 50-50. But they're fucking huge. Like, it looks terrible. The town looks like trash. The town already looks... If anybody's in Fond du Lac, what happened to Johnson Street? Johnson Street was like the place where all the businesses were. It was great. I think they redid it, and now there's like no trees on there, so it looks very desolate. Plus, you have that Shopko, which turned into a Big Lots, which turns into a Hobby Lobby, which turns into a Spirit Halloween. That looks terrible. Then they tore down the mall, and it's just a big pile of rubble and a Meijer store that's been rumored to be there since I was a senior in high school. And then every vacant lot is just plastered with political signs, and not like little yard signs, but giant, massive signs for both. And it just looks terrible. But maybe it'll sway. I don't know. 1 week away. I'd like to talk more about it, but I also shouldn't. It's important to go vote. Oh, Bart just said it's important to vote 37 minutes into this podcast. I'm going to go vote now. See, what's the point? Anyway, do vote while you still can. This has been Into the Winklerverse.